Let us lift His unto Him. Amen. Let us lift our voice and praise it unto Him. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 5. We'll read about the first 12 verses. Revelation 5. Everybody's got old croups and sinuses and coughings and everything else, but the Lord's already taken care of everything, so we don't worry about it. Brother Maloney is back home again, and we called and checked on him yesterday. He's doing a little better in some ways, but some not. He said he was responding more yesterday and everything best did, but they're having a lot of trouble with his milk and everything, trying to keep it in the right place and the right kind, and they tried to switch him and gave him a different kind, and it messed up, and different things is happening. So just remember him, keep praying for him. And to remember now, to the sisters, the Lord willing, next Sunday between the two services, there'll be a shower for Sister Regina. Now we've got it written up here on the board. And two, now they changed our address back yonder, and I thought everybody kind of knew it, but we still get notes and letters or something every once in a while from some of you that still got our old address. So it's written up there. It's at 574 H.F. Siggers Road. So just, if you will, change it. They've changed us to a 911 address, you know, where they can do it. So just remember that. And two, the Lord willing, now on August the 6th and maybe August the 7th, we know for certain, I talked to Brother Daisley this morning, Brother Theo Erasmus from Africa is going to be with us on Saturday. That'll be the week of the meeting up at Brother Daisley's, and he's going to come here to be with us at least on Saturday. So remember that, it'll be a Saturday afternoon service, and then possibly, he said he'd let me know later, but possibly may be able to stay over and be with us on Sunday. But just remember that and pray for him. And if you get a chance to go up, it's a good time to kind of get up there and, you know, and fellowship a little bit during the week. I think it's about Tuesday through Friday or something like that, or either Monday through Friday, but it's somewhere in that area of August. And it's a good time. Everybody's outside, open air meeting, you know, and under just got a top on it, you know, and everything. It's a good time, and the Lord sawdust on the floor, and they can seat about 600 in a building there, and it's a good time. We all had good times going. If you can, go and be there in the services some. And to remember Brother Colley, he'll be preaching for us, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday. And all he hadn't preached now in about, I noticed on the notes back there, trying to keep up. I can't keep them all straight, but I know Brother Harris preached last, and I think Brother Colley was in there. But anyhow, it's about 3 months he hadn't preached, so they'll have a good one. So, you know, maybe he has one stored up, or two or three, so we may be around about midnight or something. You know, he's generally short, but the Lord willing, he'll be preaching for us Wednesday. Just pray one for another. Revelation 5, I think that's all of the announcements I was trying to get out of the way. And, Revelation 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Let's just read them. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and a number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." I believe Brother Tom said he figured the best he could figure mathematically of all that thousands and thousands turned out to be about 15 billion. So that's a pretty good number of people, isn't it? Remember, this is in heaven. Now, we've been talking about it for a while. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your loving grace and your kindness unto us. Thank you for you, Lord. We pray that you just bless us now with your grace and understanding. And Father, just bless those that are not with us today. You know that some are on vacation, some are, Lord, at meetings and things and all. And just bless each one. May we all come together for one purpose. That's together, together in you. Have your way with us now. Teach us to wait upon you, that you may speak through us and guide us now. Forgive our sins. Keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we've been on for quite a while now, talking about Revelations 4 and 5. And we were using the title of Heavenly Places. And I preached a message back there in it, and that kind of stuck with me. And I want to change starting this morning on matching pieces, because I want us to see what goes on in heaven is going on earth. You know, that's the main thing I'm wanting us to see. But now, I hope you enjoyed the part, you know, of the heavenly places, because to me, when we, you know, you go through the Word looking at what John saw, and the scene that he saw in Revelations 4 and 5, showing the bride already in heaven. Now, what about a man that God thought enough of him to take him to heaven and show him the bride? You know, isn't that something? That's why, like the other day, me and Brother Dean talking a while ago about me trying to get over the other day about Brother Branham being a prophet and the whole dependence upon that, because, see, we couldn't understand John going to heaven if Brother Branham hadn't come and brought the message. Because that's where that we can see it from. He was the prophet. See, people would guess and try to figure out, was John here, was John there, what was going on, and what was this, that, or the other. Brother Branham didn't spend much time talking about whether he was here or there, as far as in a vision or a translation or something like that. He spent his time telling you what John saw. You know. And John saw the bride already in heaven. Alright, then that's why we're using that heavenly places. See, now what we want to do is to go through in comparing things. So just put that match in pieces and just put comparing where you'll know what you're thinking on or what I'm trying to get across. Because, see, to me, the way I see it, if you can see the bride in heaven, then come back to earth, you can find that by the new birth, you can see that you're already in heavenly places, and that's what I've been trying to get us to see. We're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? In exact comparison, right, of the fact that we can see ourselves in heaven. Yes. Now, the prophet said when the bride realizes who she is, said she'll be gone. Well, I believe realizing who we are is to see that we're already there. We're just here living out the last few pages or the parts of time. Sure, we're still human. We're still in vessels. We're still getting older and everything. And we'll be until the change. It wouldn't matter if every person in the world was capped off by the headstone. It would still be getting older until somebody's changed. So then, you know, we're here in this element, but while we're here, we're looking past the curtain of time to see that like I said, Sister Gail said she's going to try to sing that, you know, sometime for us, that we've done won the war. We may lose some battles, but we done read the last page of the book, and we know who wins. It's done over. But the devil just don't know it's over. And he keeps trying to tell us that it's not over. But he's a liar to begin with, so whatever he'd tell you, he'd be lying about it. See? Yeah. So then if the devil's telling us that, why don't we just stand up against it? Yeah. But now, comparing things. Now, I know I've done been through this, but I want to make sure that you see. See, like we went through, like in Revelation 4, of like the throne. All right? The throne of God is in the heart of man here upon the earth. The heart, you know, of Jesus Christ was the very throne of God. Now it's in the bride as the very throne. Exactly comparing with seeing the throne there. Yeah. So then we can read, see, no wonder the prophet, see, Brother Branham could read a scripture. You know, we was always taught that scripture meant this way or that way, and just that was it, you know, nothing else, you know. Brother Branham come along, read a scripture that would be talking about Israel and preach about the bride. He come along and be preaching and using scriptures that talks about the bride. He talking about Israel, you know. Because see, he knew how they compared and you know, backwards and forth and how everything went together. But see, we went through that, and then we went through like the one on the throne. See, the one on the throne in our heart now, exactly like the one on the throne there in Revelation 4. So then it's comparing exactly, isn't it? And that's what I've been wanting us to see from matching pieces. Those two pieces, you remember the Chinaman's, the laundry ticket he had? It's got to match back together. It can't be counterfeited, the prophet said. I was reading it yesterday and today on the Mighty God Unveiled, just reading through and just, you know, just meditating on what he was saying. It can't be impersonated. It's got to be the same. All right? What we can see here, we can see there. Now, you may think that I'll get on over a little bit further down the road one of these days, and you may think things is not fitting exactly right, but just hold on, just, you know, kind of bear with me till I get where I'm going. Because everything that happens here happens there. Everything you see there has got something here. Huh? So then that way, the pieces, when they match, yeah, when they match together, I'll get back to it in a minute. The prophet said, when the ministry of Jesus Christ repeats on the earth again, he said, exactly like the ministry he had, then the Lord will come. Well, what are we to look for? I used to read that. He said, you know what to look for. I thought, well, what in the world is he talking about? I've heard tents, I've heard returns, I've heard ministries of all kind that this man was supposed to take over, or that man was supposed to take over, or it's supposed to be this way, or it's supposed to be that way. I thought, well, what in the world is he talking about that I know what to look for? Well, see, now we ought to know what to look for. We ought to look for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Not in one person, because it won't be that way. It's going to be in the bride. Because, as I told you the other day, Brother Branham could not be the ministry of Jesus Christ in the greatest ministry that's ever been in this earth, even to probably use a vessel more than he used his own. You know, what I'm talking about, the Lord Jesus. More done in Brother Branham's ministry and life and things than maybe was even done in the life of Jesus Christ, because he only had about 3.5 years ministry, and Brother Branham went 15, 20 years, see, with that ministry. But yet still, that wasn't the ministry of Jesus Christ he was speaking of. See, because if it is, we done missed it and it's all over. So it's a ministry in the bride. Amen. In the bride. She becomes the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But now do you see what I'm talking about? You know, like we went through like the 24 elders, the rainbow and things like that, to seeing that it's exactly what's here is there. What we see here is what's taking place there. Amen. All right? Now, see, then in Revelation 5, we see it move up a little more into the scene. The scene begins to unfold a little further than Revelation 4. And we see one on the throne with a book in his hand. All right? Then we've done been through it. That book is not a paperback or anything like that, or a hardback, you know, Bible written that way. It's the Word of God, which is the very people of God, made manifest upon the earth right now in exact comparison. Now, you remember what I was trying to bring out? then that book has got to be made manifest here.
Yes, amen.
That word has got to be here living in a people before it could be in comparison with that matching pieces there that shows the word in his hand. See, that's why I believe that we're here.
Yes.
And remember, it was in his right hand.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Power and authority.
Amen.
Where is his power and authority?
In the
right. Where is it now? It's in his church. His power and authority is here. Where is it invested? Into the hands of the bride. That's why I was trying to preach our last Sunday on Romans 8, see, that the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God when God can entrust his power, authority, and everything into the hands of his bride that she can be him made manifest.
Yes.
Huh? See, then that's the matching pieces. See, I'm beginning to see the pieces coming together. I don't claim to see everything, you know. I don't claim that away, but I believe I'm beginning to see some pieces coming together. I'm beginning to see something here match what's there. Well, one day when we get to it, as we ended up that Sunday on it, see, they stand in awe in heaven. They in heaven stand in awe when the seventh seal is broke. But everyone said, not one movement. He said it might give away the secret. Well, they stand in awe. See, that doesn't mean there ain't something going on earth. Like Brother Richard Wilson preaches, you know, and it's a good point. Seventh seal don't reveal nothing, but it can be revealed. It can be revealed. What? The seventh seal can be revealed because it's Christ.
Amen.
Right? So then we can see that something is taking place. When we read of that, see, maybe it don't thrill you like it does me, but I always, now, you can believe this or not, but I've always wanted to see where the bride would be in the Word.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I remember as a Baptist, I would read the Bible, and the Bible would say that these things happen, and that thing's happening, and things like that, and I'd say, God, I'd love to see that again. Didn't you? I've always wanted to see a living God upon the earth. I'm kind of like that little boy that likes God with skin on him, you know. I mean, that's just kind of the way I am. I kind of like something to be with me, you know.
Yes.
And all, because I believe in it. Right? But see, I always look for that, and I'd long for it. They talk about it back there, you know. I've heard good preachers preach real good sermons in the Baptist church. Yeah, I know you have too. And they preach, but they'd always preach about a God. See? And if you think, and I don't mean this wrong now, but sometimes the devil helps things around. But you know what appeared just before we left the Baptist church? Maybe God used it. I'm sure he did. I enjoyed it. But I'm just saying maybe the devil had a little hand in it too. But you know that there was an old brother come along. I've told you about it, that he was a carpenter, and his son was well thought of around here. Boy, he was just the top notch, you know, man in the Baptist as far as an evangelist and teacher and things. Everybody wanted to hear it. But I didn't. His boy was okay, but his daddy was a whole lot better, the preacher. And that man would talk about one God, and he'd talk about shouting and foot washings and things that I remembered, and you know, he'd tell all about them things. Well, see, God sent him by, I believe, on one side, but the devil maybe on the other was trying to keep me back there too, because that was the thing I was looking for, somebody to talk about the God of the Word, and here comes a man alone just as we're starting to leave the Baptist church talking about a living God. He'd talk about praying in the church, get up and just shake the whole church. Just scared the people to death, he'd say. But he'd tell about a living God. You know, he'd been preaching about 50 years, and he remembered them old days. But see, I've always wanted to see God live. I want to see a living God, not just read about him and talk about it. I want to see him live.
Yes.
See, I'm beginning to see him in his word, promise, bringing to pass what he promised. And I thank God he promised it. Prophet said he ain't going to send a headstone on mind your merits. Now that's what he said about it. He said he'll send it because he promised it. It won't be because of something good that we've done or something. It's because he promised it. Well then I'm looking at that. I'm not looking for that anymore. I want you to know that, and I want the world to know it. These tapes, let them out any way you want to. I want the world to know I'm not looking for a God to come and live. I'm looking at him live.
Amen.
Right. I'm not saying he's coming. I'm saying he's here.
Amen. Amen.
Now, that's the way I believe it. Because I can see heaven and earth coming together. I can see things like Brother Hall, I was listening to him the other day, and he said, I've seen more in 1 year than I've seen in all of my Christian experience. And he's probably about my age. He's probably close to 50 years old or something. He said, I've seen more in 1 year of the revealing of his word.
Right.
And he said, if I had the opportunity, I can't remember the exact example, but some of you that hear the tapes will remember. He said, if I could have everything in the world, I'd rather have that opening to that word.
Right.
Because that's where it comes from. With the opening of the word comes power.
Right. Amen.
That's what the prophet said. Well, see, then we're beginning to see the power here exactly like the power is there in his right hand.
Right.
Because that's where he's got the bright.
Amen.
And remember, that's where the seven golden candlesticks and the stars and the thing like that. Go back over to Revelation 1. He had them stars in his right hand. Well, see, we'd say, oh, glory, we see the stars. We know he used Luther, Wesley, Brother Branham, Paul, Irenaeus. We know he used them. But see, that's the way we'd always look at it. But see, he's not just not got that now in his right hand. He's got the whole book. He's not just got the stars in his right hand now that we're reading in Revelation. He's got the whole book. We sang that song, you know, he's got the whole world in his hand. Well, that's what he's got. Because that's the right hand, the power. See. Now watch, as the scene unfolds in Revelation 5, the scene, now what did the prophet say that was a scene of? He said not a verse-by-verse description of something happening. He said Revelation 5 is a scene preparing for something to happen. Now what's fixing to happen? The opening of the word is fixing to happen. The seals is fixing to be revealed. Now that's in heaven, church. Well, if it's happening in heaven, then it's got to happen here.
Right.
People have fought the opening of the seals throughout the time that I've been in this message. They fought against that harder than anything in the world. And anybody that would ever even try to preach it, they go, oh, he's just an intellectual. Yeah, he's just, well, praise God for the intellectuals, you know. Because maybe somebody somewhere will get it.
Right.
If it ain't preached, nobody ain't going to get it.
Right.
Well, thank God if I'm just an intellectual, that if I can get the revelation to you by what I say, that God can speak to you of what's taking place, that's fine with me. That's fine with me. I have no problems. But now listen. See, we see that this is a scene preparing for the opening of the seals, the prophet said. Well, wouldn't they be something happen here? If that's a preparing there for the opening of the seals, wouldn't they have to be a preparation here? Remember, we're comparing it. If there was a scene there that would show a preparation of preparing for the opening of the seals, wouldn't there have to be something here on earth exactly like that?
Right. Amen.
Wouldn't it have to be in that order? Well, have we been in it? Did the prophet preach a message like standing in the gap? And he said, now the seventh angel's message, he said, not when he begins to, you know, go forth with the healings and signs and wonders. He said, but in the time that he begins to bring his message, Did he say that on the rapture message? He said, not in the years of preparation, but said when he begins to sound. Well, I kind of think now, maybe you don't think this away with me, but, you know, I hope you do, but I'm just saying it because this is the way I think. I kind of think we've been in a preparation period for quite a while. I think that's what God's been doing. I think he's let it run all this time to let everything that would fall off, fall off. Because he said everything can be shaken is going to be shaken. Did he? Did the prophet say that? He said that the things that are real then is what's going to stand, and he's let it pass the test. He's let it run for all these years. Types and shadows has run out. Time is running out. Everything. He's let it do that. Why? While the bride is preparing. What was the bride to do? Lay in the presence of the Son. What was the Son? The prophet's message, wasn't it? Wouldn't we to lay in the presence of the prophet's message all these years and preparing for something to happen?
That's right.
He said rapture and faith lays in these books and tapes, so we're not looking for somewhere else for something to prepare for something else to come from. He said one day, he said there'll be a short, powerful message, demonstration of God, sweep out to catch the bride, to take her off the earth. What has all these years been doing? Preparing for that time.
Amen.
Making ready. What? Because everything's starting to match. The pieces is coming together. We're beginning to see that it's not all just, you know, way up in heaven. Well, yeah, that was heaven, but we're down here and, you know. No, it's coming to a place. It's coming to a place. Now, see, what I want us to think on is comparing, but I want us to think this way for this morning, to think on something. Preparing for the opening of the seals. Now, that's what the prophet said was happening there. Now then, if there's a preparing for the opening of the seals there, they would have to be a preparing here. Because if you're going to match the pieces. Alright? Now, then what did we see in Revelation 5? We see the book and everything. We've done been through that now to cover it. It was in the hand of the one sitting on the throne, the right hand. Power and authority, all invested into a bride, while she's here upon the earth. I remember when we first come into the message, you know, that Brother Tatum then can well remember it. They used to teach, well, you know, one of these days there's going to be in the millennium, we're going to have these manifested sons and all. And I remembered when the prophet said it himself. He said, what do we need manifested sons in the millennium? He said, we need them now. Now that was his words, but people was teaching, oh, well, there's nothing going on now. Biggest man in this message, most well known. He said, if you think Mark 11 is for you, you better be ready to produce it. He said, because it was only for Brother Branham and Jesus. Well, where's Hebrews 13:8 fit?
Right.
You know? I mean, where are you going to put Hebrews 13:8? You better tire that out, see? You see, church, what we've done is people has tried to blind us away from the truth instead of trying to bring us to the truth. The ministers have driven us from the revelation instead of trying to bring us to the revelation. See, if I went through and told you things as preached and called their names, some of you would get offended at me. Because you love them, and I love them too, but truth's truth. They're welcome to tell anybody where I'm off. But I'm trying to get you to see something. It's not whether you're right or I'm right or whatever. It's what God promised. He promised that there'd be a rapture. It's not whether brother so-and-so said that it'd be. He promised what he'd do. I'm not depending on what somebody said. I'm depending on what God said.
Amen.
in His Word. Then I'm not looking for something else because I'm already settled in what I see. Believing more will unfold. But yet knowing where it's going to come from, it's going to come from this message. It's got to be in the message because we're not promised another prophet. We're not promised that somebody's to come along and straighten Brother Branham out. We're promised that a fivefold ministry was to take what he said and break it down to the people. Because that's the scriptures. That was what was to be done. Well, that's the point that I'm trying to get us to see. But now, if there was a lamb there to take the book, now let's move up in Revelation 5 as the scene slowly unfolds. You remember Brother Brown said, here we enter Revelation 5, you know he's talking? He says, now, said he didn't see the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. See, just like in Revelation 4, he didn't start off seeing the one sitting on the throne. It's unfolding slowly. That's the way Revelation comes. You know yourself that it doesn't come all at once. It unfolds slowly over years of preaching the gospel to climb to a position sometimes to just see one thing. It does with me now. And it'll unfold and then I'll see what has already happened. Because he does it, then he reveals it, and then he'll make it manifest. But now, see, then what we're doing is we're preparing for the opening of the seven seals. Alright? What is the preparation you see there? And you'll see what I'm talking about now. Comparing it. What is the preparation you see in Revelation 5? You see the book. You see the one on the throne. You see the book in his hand. But all at once you see a lamb. Brother Brown said John didn't see the lamb. Page 763, Revelation chapter 5, book 15. He said, John didn't see the lamb. See, the scene's unfolding. He said, all at once, John sees the lamb. He said, where'd that lamb come from? He said, it come from the Father's throne. Where did the lamb come from?
Amen.
Some other planet?
No.
Some other place or some other thing? It was there on the Father's throne the whole time. But he wasn't manifesting himself as the Lamb. Now we're going to get to that in a minute. See? Because not only do you have to have your pieces, you've got to have them in line. You try to put Son of Man and Son of God together, you've got two pieces, but try to put them together at the wrong time, they don't match. Put them in a certain place, you might be able to put them together. But yet, you try to put them in the wrong place. Now see, that's what I'm wanting us to see. The prophet said he did not see the lamb to start with. He said, why didn't he see the lamb? He said, because he's been seated on the Father's throne. Now that's what happened at Pentecost. I mean, you know, Calvary, resurrection, where'd he go? To the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
He'd become the one on the throne. But he's not seen as that. Now he's seen as the one on the throne, which is the Holy Ghost. See, because that's down through seven church ages, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he's not seen as the Lamb. The Lamb's not seen. You remember how I was bringing it out? I said Revelation 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5, you don't see the Lamb. You see the Holy Ghost in the church. Now your scene is unfolding slowly until it's beginning to come to a place that you can see another part of the scene. See, just get in with it and just listen and check it and see if it's right. As the scene begins to unfold, John sees a lamb come forth. Where? From the Father's throne. He just didn't suddenly appear out of nowhere. He said on the seal book, 96, 97, 98, and 99, read all of that on the seal book. He said, where did he come from? He said, where did this lamb come from? He said, he come from the Father's throne.
Right.
He said, well, he's been making intercession. One time in the sealed book, he said he was back in the throne or behind the throne, you know, saying it like that. This is an illustration. But he said he comes forth from the Father's throne. He said he's been back in eternity making intercession. Now read that real careful down through there and listen to him say it like this. He said he's back there making intercession for the Old Testament saints.
Right. Amen.
He was making intercession for the Old Testament saints.
Right.
You say, but now wait a minute, brother. There, sure, he was making intercession for us. But see, he was making, and that lamb paid the price at Calvary for the Old Testament as well as the New Testament.
Amen.
That's what I want us to get into in a minute, because I just want us to talk about that lamb in a minute. But now listen to what I'm saying. He said, he's been there 2,000 years making intercession, page 99 of the seal book, and he says, when does he come forth? In other words, he's coming forth now. When, he said? He says, in the end time. You remember what I was bringing out the other day? I said, the scene we're talking about covers 2,000 years.
Right.
You remember last week when I was preaching about it? Brother Lynn said, we're standing here watching what happened in glory 2,000 years ago. I said, why would he bring out glory 2,000 years ago? Because Calvary transpired 2,000 years ago and one went to glory. And when John goes to Patmos, Jesus is done crucified for the last 60 years. And that's why he could see it like that. This was never shown to anybody before then. That's why the great apostle Paul, even though he could see it, he couldn't tell it.
Right.
Because it hadn't transpired the way that it needed to, and he couldn't enter the realms maybe that John could.
Right.
Something was withholding from Paul. He said, I can't tell you what I saw.
Right.
The prophet said, now Paul couldn't tell you what he saw, but said John was commanded to write what he saw. Why? Because it was time. It was time for it to unfold under the scene of showing it and making everything manifest. Right. Now listen to what I'm getting to then. See, why has he been waiting? Tied in with last week's message now. Why has he been waiting? Why has he been on that throne waiting?
Hallelujah.
Until the sons and daughters of God could come on the earth that could understand what was taking place. The whole world is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. To where he could reveal it.
See?
He couldn't reveal it until he done it. Is that on Christ the Mystery of God revealed? He does it first, then he reveals it, then he makes it manifest.
Alright?
So he's been making intercession. He had to make intercession for the Old Testament saints.
Right.
As well as the new.
Amen.
Alright? So he's making intercession, then he comes forth in the end time.
Yes, Lord.
Where does he come from?
Hallelujah.
He comes from the Father's throne.
Right.
Not another throne, not another God. Wait till we get to it in a minute. It's just in attributes.
Amen.
It's in manifestations or attributes. See, he was Son of God through seven church ages, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Baptism of the Holy Ghost in the people. But he's to be Son of Man, because that's who he was when he was on the earth. And the prophet said the same ministry's got to repeat. To be the matching pieces got to repeat again. Well, John, when he goes to Patmos, he sees not only the bride, he sees the Lamb. He sees the Son of Man that paid the price. Because he didn't die Son of God. Son of God is the Holy Ghost. You can't kill it. He died as Son of Man, the Redeemer. He took our place, paid the price. Now we're standing looking at it already done. Like I've tried to get you to see, maybe it don't mean anything to you, but I hope it does this way, but I keep trying to make the illustration. If I was told I was going to get $5 million 20 years from now, what would I worry about it? I'd just get somebody to loan me enough money to live till then. Don't say in gold, I'd live high on the hog till that time comes, because I'd have plenty of hog to pay it off with when I got to that place. Well, what I'm trying to say by that is, if I can see myself in heaven, what am I worried about what's taking place? What am I concerned with what's going on the earth? Sure, I'm sick just like you are. I'm heartaches just like you are. But if I can see myself over there, I've been trying to make illustrations where we see Brother Branham get a man in the prayer line, be a young man, he say, thus saith the Lord, you're healed. He said, because I saw you as an old man with your lunch under your arm going to work. What was he basing that on? God showed him an old man. He knew that man wasn't going to die what he had. He knew right there that there was no way the man could die at that time. There wasn't enough devils in hell to take the man until he got to the age the prophet saw him. I mean, God could have turned every devil in hell loose on him. If that prophet saw it, there's no way that he could have killed that man. Right. So he says, thus saith the Lord, you're healed. Why? Because he done seen it. Well, when the bride realizes who she is,
right.
When she sees who she is, she finds out she's already there. Like I told you about Enoch. See, I keep giving illustrations. Enoch just got walking off one day, and he just looked back and he said, well, hey, I'm just closer there than I am here. I'll just go on there.
Right.
That's what I've been trying to do, is illustrate over and over to us to get us to see how important it is to look beyond the curtain of time.
Right.
Now, did the prophet on the seals say, God, would you come and open our eyes that we can look past the curtain of time? Now, is that what he said in the seal book? He said, let us look past the curtain of time. Why? Because, see, it was all going to be, the main thing was going to be in heaven, past the curtain of time. But if I can see myself there, there's not enough devils in hell to be able to stop me. It's like I've tried to illustrate. You know yourself that the Lord has healed you, revealed to you that you was well, and everybody in the world said you wasn't well. You know? I mean, everybody in the world said, no, doctor said, no. You know? But see, you know it. Why? Because you're already well. It may be 20 years, but you're already well. You know it. Right? So you're not waiting on it. You're like Abraham. You already got it.
Hallelujah.
God has done it, and he's revealed it, and you're just waiting on him to make it manifest.
Right. Amen.
That's why when you come up here to me to pray for you, you notice the way I pray. I said, God revealed to this person they're healed, then you can make it manifest.
Right.
If you tell me it's already revealed to you, then I'm not going to pray for God to reveal that to you. I'm going to pray for him to make it manifest.
Right.
And I know he will. See how important it is? But see, we're down here at the manifestation of the sons of God when the bride is becoming the Word and beginning to see what's taking place.
Amen.
Then we're not looking for something. We're looking at it. But listen now, you get what I'm saying? Where did this lamb come from? He come on the scene to compare exactly on earth one day. When we see him die coming on the scene to take the book, there has to be somewhere on the earth. And here's the words of the prophet. He said, isn't it odd that it's a lamb? He said, now isn't that odd? He said, but now listen. He said, this is not a lamb. He said, because it takes the book out of the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Now, who is that lamb? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
But isn't it odd that a lamb comes forth? I'm going to repeat this in a minute, so I think it fits good. You know, everybody likes the lion, don't they? Everybody says, oh, the lamb was his first coming. Leo the lion is his second coming. Now, the prophet said whatever he had in the beginning has got to be here in the end or it ain't going to finish. Now, that's I'm going to believe him. I don't care what anybody else says. But my point is this. Why there's so much roaring of the lion? Why that? It wasn't a lion in the garden.
Right.
He didn't take a lion in the garden and kill it and take the skins off and put it on Adam and Eve.
Right.
He didn't do it. The prophet said, ain't it odd it's a lamb? He said, because it was a lamb in the beginning.
Right.
Read that about 761, 62, 63 and all through there of that Revelation chapter 5, book 15, read it. Start about 761 and read for about 10 or 15 pages and see if the prophet wouldn't cover it like that. He said, it odd is a lamb. He said, but it was a lamb in the beginning.
Yeah.
Then it's a lamb that takes the book.
Right. Thank you.
All right. See? Matching pieces. Now, what am I talking about now? See, let's go back. We're talking about, we're done back in Genesis now. See, we've been in heaven for quite a while. But now let's take them matching pieces. See, this matching piece I'm talking about started in Genesis. Really started for the foundation of the world when he stood as a lamb slain. But I'm talking about the earthly side of it. The earthly side of it, there was a little lamb in the garden. Most defenseless animal that could ever be. The prophet preaching a message called Lamb and the Dove. He said, now there it was on the River Jordan. And he said, here come a dove. He said, now what if that had to come down on the nature of a wolf? He said, it would have quickly taken its flight.
Amen.
Is that what he said?
Right.
But he said, it was a lamb in the beginning. And he said, it's a lamb there in heaven. What we've been talking about has been in heaven, isn't it? Now let's get back down here to earth just a little while. Because there was a lamb started. You just think, every one of them little bitty lambs, they have no defense of their own, they have to be led. If one of them gets out at night and a lion comes after it, it won't even run. It won't even do nothing like it. It just stands there and lets them kill it. It has no defense. It's just totally defense. And God would choose that to show what would take the book. Now, that's the way he would speak of it. I don't want to get too far because I want to bring out something this afternoon on it. But now listen, 763 of the book I gave you, book 15, says, the Lamb was Christ in his attributes, see, meek and gentle like a lamb. Meek and gentle like a lamb in his attributes. But what about every time they took that little lamb up there, that little lamb, he just lay down there and just give his life. And everything that was done, it was every time that done, he's speaking of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, there never was a lion sacrifice in the Bible.
Right.
I've never read of one. See, I've never read of a lion being a sacrifice. I mean, if I'm wrong, somebody tell me. I've never read of a lion being a sacrifice. It's always a meek animal.
Right.
It's always a defenseless animal.
Right.
It's always a sacrificial. Might have been an ox. Might have been a dove.
Right.
Might have been a lamb. Using rams and all kind of things like that. But it's always, it's never a lion. Well, see, then how could the lion take the book? See, why has the preaching been like it's been in the land? But now let's just get back down here to earth and think about it. Because something's got to compare here. If there was a lamb there to take the book, then where'd that lamb come from? The prophet said he comes from the Father's throne. Well, how'd he get on the Father's throne? Because there was a lamb nature in Genesis. Meekest animal in the world taken to pay the price. John 1:29, when Jesus walked out on the River Jordan there, John the Baptist out in the water, baptizing, what did he say? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The Lamb of God. Yet Jesus, in naturally speaking, John the Baptist would have had every right to call him the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But John was a prophet, remember, to whom the word came. Because Jesus was, in natural earthly lineages of anything you'd want to talk about, coming down to Mary, not even coming to Joseph, but coming to Mary. He was of the tribe of Judah. And the promise throughout the scriptures that there would be a lawgiver come from Judah, and all the things, that the light would always remain with Judah. See? Why didn't John the Baptist call him a lion? It's because he knew he was introducing the sacrifice.
Right.
You remember how when Brother Branham brought it out, when John the Baptist and Jesus met there, you know, how that John said, "Well, I need to be baptized of thee." And he said, "That's right," but said, "It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And the Bible says, and John baptized him. But Brother Branham said that Jesus then was explaining to John, in other words, John knew that if he was the lamb, the sacrifice, he had to be washed. So he said, "Well, okay, let's just do it to him." So he baptized him because he knew that that had to be. See, John was a prophet. He knew the story for the time. Maybe not all, because he even doubted a little later on, you know, and said, "Are you him, or we seek another?" But yet at the time, God had spoke to him and said, "One you see the Holy Ghost descending upon and remaining." You know, John was a prophet. Maybe John had been down and seen Caiaphas and the Holy Ghost descend at certain times and Caiaphas speak in tongues, prophesy, etc. Brother Brown said, he said, "When you see the Holy Ghost descend and remain upon him." He said, "Now that's the Lamb of God." Well, here he is introduced now. See, he couldn't come contrary to the Word, so he had to come as a lamb. Now we're going to be, I don't know how long, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of sermons, I don't really know. But if you want to read on it, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because we're going to try to get into the Gospels for a little while. And we're going to talk about the one the Gospels bring forward. Because the Gospels bring forth a lamb.
Right.
The Gospels don't talk about a lion. Now it does in that he'll come as judgment and et cetera, et cetera. We'll get to that in a minute. See, because it's not two persons. A lion and a lamb's not two persons, but that's two entirely different looking natures, isn't it? But remember, you're not talking about a roaring lion with a lion nature. Now, come on. Brother Brandon says it, I've got it written down in here somewhere, he said it's on page 9 of Mighty God Unveiled before us, he says now he changes his act, but said he never changes his nature. He said, "Yeah, but Brother Dale said, one of these days he'll be a judge. It'll be a lamb." Are you going to change his nature from a lamb to a lion? Is that what you think is happening in the Bible? Now just remember what I said. Jesus was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was the king that Judah spoke of. He was the inheritor of the throne and all that Judas and all of the scriptures, I mean Judah and all of the scriptures would speak of. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But But just think about it. The lion of the tribe of Judah, while he's on earth, is a lamb. Now, do you think that when we're here on earth, you're going to have a lamb, but when you get to judgment, you're going to have a lion? Now, if you put Hebrews 13:8 in there, I'd like to hear that. Because the prophet said he never changes his nature. Say, so, yeah, but what happens? God never condemns no one until he gives him a change. Is that true? He never condemns nobody until he gives a change. But then once he gives a change and you make the choice, does he become a roaring mean lion to destroy? The greatest condemnation I could ever think in my life. You could seemingly justify humanly that if you're standing before a mean and angry judge, it would be standing there, you know, hollering and screaming at you for what you've done and all of that. That you might justify that and walk away. But how are you going to justify walking away from a throne to where you're going to have to look at the nail prints? You think at judgment he's not going to have the nail prints? Well, maybe you don't understand what you're doing, but you're changing his nature. The prophet said he never changes his nature. He said he changes his act. It's not going to be a mean, angry God at judgment. Because
right.
He's not mean and angry.
Right.
Where are you going to get it from? I thought we all taught God was love.
Right.
So, yeah, but Brother Dale, do you think he was a sissy? Not by the world standards. But yet, where do we get this afternoon where that he would say, if they smite you on one cheek, turn the other.
Right.
See, I know the message. I know how to quote Brother Branham, but just remember, you better quote all he says. I know how to quote where he says that the eyes of love that looked at you will one day look at you in anger. But you better be careful how you place that. Because the prophet was placing it right. You love your children. And you look at them with one eye, I mean your eyes, and you love them, and but then one day they do something wrong. You pick them up and spank them. They don't look in your eyes and see, well, Daddy, you love me. No, you kind of change the directions of your eyes sometimes, and they think you're kind of mad, because if you don't, it won't do no good to spank them. You know? But see, we're not even talking about that kind. That's just the human terminologies. I'm talking about Hebrews 13:8, where he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So yeah, but don't you believe he changes from a lamb to a lion? I believe what changes that is his morphe, for the attributes to be displayed for what he has. The prophet said, you see him in a lamb nature, gentle. He said that was his attributes. That was his attributes of a lamb. God can display many attributes, but he can't never change his nature. So that's where Brother Branham even said it. He said, I used to think that God hated me and Jesus loved me. Now, is that the way he said it? He said, till I found out it was the self-same person. Do we look at the Old Testament as a hateful, angry God? If it does, I'd like to talk to you about David sometimes. You know? I'd like for you to get in David and kind of tell me about that. I'd like for you to get back there into some of those things that happened where that God came on the scene to Rahab the harlot. And brought her in to her that she would marry in the very lineages of natural earthly lineage of Jesus in any form would come down through that. That's why the prophet said, he said, I used to think God hated me and Jesus loved me. He said, well, I found out there's the same. Well, when he found out there's the same, did he change? Did he think, well, God hated me and Jesus hated me? Now, which way did he understand, okay? You know, which came to his understanding? If he thought one time God hated him and Jesus loved him, now if he changed his mind on that, which way did he go? God hated him, Jesus hated him too, I guess. Now, we know a little bit better than that, don't we? Now, he found out the real nature of God. God is not a dirty old granddaddy. He's not a sissy. But he always lets you do what you want to do. I got it in here somewhere where he was talking about it. See, God lets you and me make the choice. And then we condemn ourselves. Amen. By the choice we make. Then can I say to him, I say, Brother Collie, you're a little bit angry at me. I'm not if he's telling me the truth and loved me all the time and tried to tell me not to do it. Him trying to tell me not to do it the whole time and loving me and saying, don't do it. And then I go do it. And I turn around and I say, well, Brother Collie, I done it. He said, well, you shouldn't have done that. I told you not to do it. You're mad at me now. You're angry at me. No. He's just telling me the truth. Because I done made my own choice. Remember, we're talking about a lamb that's got to match the other piece. And it wasn't a lion that come forth. Wait till we get to it one of these days and describe that lamb. You know, that's a funny looking lamb up there. You know, if that lamb in heaven had seven horns and seven eyes?
Right.
We've never seen too many lambs look like that. That was the bride. That's what the prophet said. So there must be something about this Son of Man in the last days that's going to have a Savior in it. You know what? I might as well unload. See, we can accept it. Brother Dale might be able to walk out here, or Brother Gibby, or Brother Collie, or Brother Harris. I'm just using the ministry side, see. You know, just that side of it. But I mean anyone else. Oh, they can say things and call for rain and, you know. But what if you walked out here and forgive somebody their sins? See, that's the kind of lamb I believe in.
Right.
I believe the Son of Man is a lamb.
Amen.
Why the roaring of the lions now? You know? Why are all these ministries around the land? If you don't agree with them, what happens to you? They've all got the thunders. They've all got the roar of the lion. They've all, you know, they all got the judgment messages. And you're out if you don't believe them and all that. Now, I don't find that in the Bible. I don't find it in Brother Round's message. I find the Lamb was the Son of Man. And that we're supposed to be back in the time of the Son of Man upon the earth again. But yet every message I've ever heard had judgment on it. The only message the Lamb ever brought that had judgment is when you turn it down. You don't have to have a message of judgment. When you turn down grace, you're already judged.
Right.
You turned it down yourself. God don't condemn anybody without giving them a chance.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. See, the prophet said the same ministry. The same ministry that Jesus Christ left must be on this earth before the rapture. Now, did he say that? You want me to give it to you? 103, 104, questions and answers, book 2. So it's got to be the same minister that raised Luther, Wesley, etc. Page 19, standing in the gap, he said it's got to be among the bride to bring Christ. To bring Christ. Page 36, there's a man here that can turn on the light. He said it's got to be the same ministry or you can't come forth. The same ministry, Jesus Christ, has got to be on the earth. Or there won't be a rapture. Well, why is everybody looking for a line?
Right.
Yeah. But Rome didn't have a line ministry. If you're going to look for anything, why don't you look for an eagle? You know? I mean, if you're going to try to find animals in nature, why don't you look for an eagle? Because that's what he represented. But yet I thought the Son of Man was the one to return in the last days.
Come on.
And I thought the Son of Man was a lamb. I looked over some notes the other day. I preached that a year or two ago. So you ought to be able to remember some of it. See, the Son of Man is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Son of God is the Holy Ghost that dwells within your heart that was not crucified at Calvary.
Right.
The Son of Man will open up to release the Son of God out to bring it. And then to return in the last days to be the Son of Man on the earth again. That's what I thought we was looking for. The Son of Man is where the opening of the seals come from. The Lamb of God. Like I said, who is that in Revelation 5? It's got seven horns and seven eyes. And according to the Bible, if you didn't want to believe Brother Reynolds, that's the seven spirits of God sent forth in all the earth. See, then look, church, we're not talking about, I'm trying to get you to see something got to match here that's dark. We see that lamb there, there's got to be a lamb here. Wasn't it odd the Father said it started with a lamb? Here come that lamb 2,000 years ago, walked upon this earth, produced what the Old Testament spoke of. Brought into manifestation what had been spoken of for 4,000 years. A lamb. A lamb. Why is everybody looking for a lion? See, what you're saying was that Brother Branham, I mean, you're saying Brother Branham was wrong, but what you're saying is, you're saying that the lamb was back under 2,000 years ago, and the lion's over here, and you're going to try to quote Isaiah 61 and what is it, Luke, there, about 4 or 5, where it covers, you know, the half of the ministry, and then the other half to be in the last days. That's what I asked the question on Daniel 70 weeks. I said, if the 7 years of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, which half do we get? I mean, I just to be honest, I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck. I just want to know what we get. I mean, if it's supposed to be a lion in the last days, I want to roar like one. All right? But see, under the lamb, a man said one day, under a lamb. Now listen, did the lamb lice the Old Testament? Under a lamb, a man said one day, he said, I'm not a prophet. And he said, I'm not the son of a prophet. But what did he say? He said, but the lion has roared. In other words, and I can't hold my peace. Now, was he talking about a lion? I thought that was under a lamb. So that was just his illustration. That was just the illustration. That's what the Bible is trying to get us to see, not in lions and lambs. Jesus was the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's who he was. But in manifestation on the earth, when he came to die, he was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. It's just differences in attributes or displaying for what he is, but he never changes his nature. nature has always got to be there.
Right. Amen.
Would you like to go over to Revelation 21 and 22 and find out the Lamb's still there? You want to get a little stronger? You know there's no lion in heaven? There's combat beasts and things like that. Now don't misunderstand me. But Brother Branham's the one that said it. I would like for somebody to show me. I made the statement the other day about it. The thunders don't happen in heaven. They sound on earth. That's the words of the prophet. Page 38. Church, what time is it? You want to know where it's in the Bible? Read it. Revelation 10, 1 through 7. And you'll find out John was on earth. And saw the angel come down from heaven. Is that scripture? Do we need to turn and read it? Do you know it? He was on earth and saw an angel come down from heaven and step one foot on land and one on sea. And when the angel finished, he sounded and seven thunders uttered their voices. The prophet said, see, they don't sound in heaven, they sound on earth. Where do we get to that comparison? Might be interesting. See, what I want you to see is, though, the life of Jesus Christ has got to be here on earth in a matching piece, exactly like the life he had.
Right.
And he was not at that time the judge. He says, I don't condemn you, when he was standing here. Yet the Bible said he committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. But he said, I don't condemn you. He said, you have the condemnation of the Word of God that Moses brought unto you. How much more would that be said today? We have the condemnation of the entire Word of God. If we turn down anything, we turn down everything that was said by all of them and everything that was said under grace. Because he said, I don't judge you. He said, no man will judge you for your time. He said, you've got one judgment. He said, that's Moses and the law. Because thou stood what the Moses and the law had spoke of in human flesh, and they wouldn't have it. Could it happen again? Complain. Could it happen again? I mean, what about it? Matching pieces. What's in heaven tells us what's on earth. What is the world waiting on? The roaring of a lion? I thought Romans 8 said it was a manifestation of sons of God. I didn't think it was a roaring of a lion. See, the reason we get all of these things in our mental capacity of our mind, we don't like to relate ourselves sometimes to we do in nature of the Lamb that we want to be sweet and humble when we want to, but then we want to get behind the pulpit and roar like a lion.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Bless God, I'll beat you to death with this word.
Oh, my.
I'll take this word and I'll tear you to pieces with it. A man told me one day, he said, I know you can take the word and destroy me. I said, yes, and you know I won't do it.
Bless you.
Well, wrong nature.
Right. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Wrong nature.
Amen.
It doesn't fit the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, this evening we'll get on God's nature. Because I kind of believe Jesus had God's nature, don't you?
Right. Amen.
That's what I said. Let's get into the Gospels. Because that's where the Lamb comes forth. You know that in the Gospels, he never called himself Son of God? always referred to himself as Son of Man throughout the writings of the Gospels, because he was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He had the nature of a lamb, and he displayed it. You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, he even come to a place one time and he beat some people. He done that because it was off the word. You say, yeah, but the Bible said he got angry. He didn't get mad. There's a little difference in the word. Now, if you're going to make Jesus mad, I'd like to know where you can get that from in the Bible. If you're going to make God mad, it's like I was bringing out here a while back, I'd like to see that in the Word. I'd like somebody to show me where God gets mad. He doesn't. See, we call mad and angry the same. To me, what it's saying that he got angry was not that he just got all flustered and his blood pressure run up to about 400 and he was so mad he couldn't stand it. He just looked at them and saw that they were wrong. And he walked out there to change that situation.
Right.
Not in a mad fit of rage. Because you don't whip your children in a mad fit of rage. You may be angry with them sometimes and have to spank them. Heard on the radio coming up this morning, thought it was really something. You probably heard it too about the child, and I regret it. The child put in a foster home, and they beat it to death. Now they got both of them in prison. But the mama's suing them for millions of dollars. But you know why they took the baby away from her? Because she was molesting it. Now, ain't that something? Now, that's what the news said this morning. You know. See, that's how perverted our minds are. But if it's that perverted that way, could our minds this morning be just a little bit perverted in looking for a line to come? Could it be that we miss a lamb and his nature, thinking that he's supposed to be a little different than what we think? Let's stand. Could it be that we miss him and we want to roar like a lion ourselves? See, the nature of the lamb must come before he can morphe as the lion. If nothing else would get you, that ought to make you think a little bit. The nature of the lamb has to come forth. And that's the Son of Man. Then if we're looking for the Son of Man, and everybody around the message is just Son of Man ministries and Second Coming and Second Calvaries and every kind of thing could be thought of. But see, the reason I believe people mess up is they start looking for something that ain't supposed to be. Now come on, tell me about it, Jimmy. If I'm wrong, tell me about it. Why would a man go into polygamy? He's looking at something that's not supposed to be. Right? Why would all of these things happen around the message if people's messed up? They're looking at the Bible. They're looking at the prophet's message. They're using that to justify themselves with. But they're looking at it wrong. Yeah. They're not seeing what's supposed to be. The Lamb is what I'm looking for. Yeah, but Brother Dale, you think he's some kind of a sissy? He's the only man's ever been. There's never been a man like that man. He was a man. Because on there on Patmos, the cry wasn't for a lamb. The cry wasn't for a lion. The cry was for a man. Because he searched heaven and earth and couldn't find nobody. He's looking for a man. There's never been but one man fit that bill. John said, "Behold the Lamb." Does our life match a lamb or a lion? Which one is it? Go ahead, Brother Dick. Let's sing. Which one is it? What does my life display to you, a lamb or a lion? Which one is it? Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is yours. Making wise the simple. Is that what it is? To be desired are they then? Yea, than much fine gold. Like Brother Gary said one time about reading the Old Testament. You know, you read it and it says, thou shalt not kill. You think that's really hard. You think that said of a mean voice, thou shalt not kill. Just change it around and just say it with love and say, thou shalt not kill. Changes a lot about the law. The prophet of God took that law and made it to... He said the Ten Commandments, the seals. In the eye, more to be defied, the they than more than I gold, sweeter also than honeycomb. You know, I was thinking about this week, you know, that Brother Lee Fitzpatrick had that Bible, you know, the old Bible. See, Brother Brown said the lost books of Eden. He said there's 10 books there, but he said they're not in the King James Version. Now, Brother Lee's got a book that was printed, supposed to have been about 1800 or something. You know, a copyrighted that. King James Version. Brother Maloney's got one. I knew about it. I'd heard about it a long time ago. Brother Maloney's got a Bible. It's got the King James Version of the Bible, and right in the middle of it is the Lost Books of Eden. You see, Brother Brown said it's not in there. I showed Brother Lee something that you can think about. See, even the commentator, the writer, put at the end of the Old Testament, says the end of the Old Testament. Then when it went to Matthew 1, he said the beginning of the New Testament. I said, those 10 books, well, somebody just put them in, this commentator did. They're not in the King James Version. But the Lord spoke to me something this week. You know how I can prove they're not in the King James Version? Because there's 66 books in the Bible. Is that right? There's 66 chapters in Isaiah. If the 10 books of Eden was put in, Isaiah wouldn't be a whole Bible. That's it. Just wait and let him answer you. You don't have to fuss with nobody about nothing. Just wait. Now let the world come and say, well, them books of Eden's in the King James. No, they're not. But there's 66 books in Isaiah. There's 66 books in the Bible. If you put them 10, you'd have 76 books. Won't work. Simplicity. Simplicity is where it's all at. That's what I'm talking about, the lamb. The simplicity of the lamb. Everybody looking for a lion to come roaring. Every time you see somebody raise up, some of these young ministers raise up in the message, boy, they just roar and scream how bad everybody is, and boy, we're off and up. Everybody just runs to it. But after a while, you see them just start dying down. Wrong nature. Wrong nature. They have the roaring of the lion, but they don't have the nature of a lion. He has come forth from the grave. Roll back. Death is defeated. That's what it is. Let's sing that one more time before we go. Hallelujah. Our our Lord is risen. He has come forth from the grave. Death is defeated. The stone is rolled back. Tomb is empty where he lay. Just sing that to one another as you dismiss. Remember our first Sunday, we're eating together, fellowship together. Have a good time in the Lord. You're dismissed.
Death is defeated. The stone's been thrown back.